You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So I want to talk about something that is true of us as humans, and I want to tell you before we get into this, we're continuing this series called Insert Name Here from the book of Ephesians, and I'm teaching today what was supposed to be taught last week, and what was supposed to be taught this week, and I'm up here about 20 minutes later than normal. So if you have not gotten the YouVersion notes, please help me out and my heart condition, okay? Do it for my heart. Listen to your heart and do it for my heart so that I don't have to slow down. I can kind of fly through things here because these notes are important as we talk about all the stuff. But I want to talk about some things that is probably true of you based on some of these objects that I've got here. First of all, when it comes to fire, we don't stick our hands in the fire. Okay? We shouldn't. You know, unless you're like Mr. Deeds and his foot. But otherwise, you know, that's a weird reference. But anyway, we avoid fire. Why do we avoid sticking our hands in fire? Because it hurts. You're going to get burned. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, so here's another little thing. I don't know if you guys, anybody know what this is? Anybody? Sewing kit. Yeah, it's a sewing kit. It's an old sewing kit. And in sewing kits, you have these things, which are pins, and nobody, I mean, likes to get stuck with pins, right? 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 I don't know, you can do that thing. I've got really dense skin. You can do that, which you can't see, but it's really gross. It's not actually going to cause. But people don't, we don't like that. Why don't we like to get stuck with a pin or a needle? Okay, ouch, it hurts. Yes, this isn't, you know, it's not rocket surgery. So it hurts. Some people don't like this. This is sriracha. This is one of my favorites. But I know that that people tend to be averse. Oh, it's good. Probably not the right time of the day for that, though. All right. So why do some people not like hot sauces? Because they're hot. Because what? Give me describe what happens when you eat hot sauce. It burns, spicy. All right, yeah. Yeah. How about this? And I know that this one is the reality right now. Because this is a thermometer. And some of us are averse. We are offended by. We do not like it when the temperature gets down below 2 digits. Right? How many? Yeah, it hurts. How many of you are enjoying this weather right now, the temperature? Okay, nobody is. I mean, you go outside and you breathe in too deeply and your lungs have frozen shut. And then some people, you know, when it's pushing 120, 110, people don't like that, right? Why doesn't that feel good either? It hurts. It doesn't feel good. Okay, good, good. How many of you, now this, I don't know if it's like this these days because I'm old, but when I was younger, when I was little, if I got a cut, if I scraped my knee riding my bike, my mom would say, "All right, come on in. Let's get out the cotton swabs, or not the cotton balls, and then we would have to put some rubbing alcohol on it to clean it out." Anybody ever had to do the rubbing alcohol to clean it out? All right, now, do they still do that? Like, is that the way it works? Okay. Does anyone enjoy getting rubbing alcohol in their cut? No, no. Why not? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, is there a common theme? People don't want to do any of these things. And I want everybody to answer here, okay? If you don't do these things, why? Because why? They hurt, right? They hurt. And see, we as humans are programmed that way. And there's a good thing. Like, the reason you don't want to keep your hand near a fire is because, you know, you could get burned. And it could cause some damage and all of these things. And I guess this is causing damage. I'll let you know. I'm a pretty heavy eater of that when I'm on some serious stomach medications down the road. I guess I am on serious stomach medications. I wonder if they're connected. Anyway, But we are designed as humans, and it's a good thing, that we are kind of pain averse, meaning we are anti-pain, we are anti-hurt. We don't want to do things that hurt. And again, there's legitimate reasons for that. But somehow, and we're American, and right now we're sitting in here, and some of you are like, it is only 64 degrees in this room, so I'm chilly. And some of you are under the fan going, why is it so warm in here? But here we are in a climate-controlled climate-controlled room when it's, what is the temperature outside right now? It is currently 14 degrees outside. I don't even know what the real feel is. Well, and yet, you know, we want to be comfortable. We expect comfort. And so as Americans and as humans, there's kind of this idea that says, okay, I should be comfortable. And if I'm supposed to be comfortable, then anything that is painful is bad. And so nothing should be difficult. Nothing that I do should be a challenge. Nothing should make me uncomfortable. Nothing should make me have to do something that doesn't feel good. And I just want you to understand something as we get into this. That is not the way God wants us to live when it comes to following Him. We have to get past this mindset, this American mindset that says, okay, this might be difficult, this might be costly, this might be hard, therefore it is clearly not what God wants for me. We have this idea that says if something's hard, then that's not what God wants. Because God wants us to be happy. God wants life to be easy for us. God wants us to be rich and to be comfortable. But unfortunately, if you're actually following God, if you're actually following the Bible, that is not the case. And so the point that I want you to get this morning as we talk about this topic is insert name here and follow God's authority. We'll hit the house lights there, Isaac, for everyone if they have a paper Bible. Obviously, hopefully you have the YouVersion notes. But as we talked about the beginning of last month with this series, that this was a letter that Paul wrote that was kind of sent to the church at Ephesus. The fancy church word is epistle or a letter. And it was sent to the church at Ephesus, and it actually wasn't written to them as much as they were the ones that shared it with all the different churches in their area. And so it could actually be, as we said that first week, an insert name here. Like, it goes to all of those people, and including us today as the church. And so when it comes to this idea of following God's authority, there's a very, very simple word for that, and that's obedience. And see, as followers of Jesus, and as you and me, not just American Christians or whatever, but we will follow God's authority, we will obey God as long as it doesn't hurt. God, I'll go that far, but you know what? Financially, that's starting to pinch. So you clearly don't want me to do that. God, I'm going to do this, but if I do this, it means I'm going to give up time, you know, doing the things I want to do. God, I want to serve here, and I'll serve as long as they don't ask me to come in early. Because that would be uncomfortable. God, I know that this is a conversation that I'm supposed to have, but you know what? I don't want to, and it would make me feel bad, and so I'm not going to do it. And we've got this idea that somehow this idea of pain, of difficulty, is something that God's like, oh yeah, you're right, you guys, it should be easy for you. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And as we're going to see this morning, as I fly through Ephesians 3 and 4, that Paul's whole purpose, Paul's whole issue, is because he was obeying God, things were difficult. Now hear me, not in spite of his obedience, things are difficult because he obeyed God. And so we need to break through this idea that obedience is going to be easy. So here's where we are. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, as I said, and I want to talk about this idea of don't deny difficulty. And like I said, we are combining what was supposed to be last week and this week to here. So you've got the passages in front of you. I'm going to do some highlighting. Kara's going to do her best to keep up with me on the computer. You guys are following at home. You know, you could pause the live stream if you want. There you go. But some things I want to talk about when it comes to obedience. The first of all is that obeying God assumes difficulty. Obeying God assumes difficulty. Get that. Right from the beginning, when it comes to obedience, when it comes to following God's authority, when it comes to following God when He's telling us to do something, it assumes that there's difficulty there. And this is how he starts Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Remember, this is a letter. And so the cool thing about this letter is that Paul's bouncing back and forth between different themes. And Paul's a human, guided by the Holy Spirit, but he's writing with his humanity. And the things that he's writing are very, very human. And so just I want you to notice, I don't know if you can read it there, but it says, when I think of all this, Paul starts with verse 1. Because he's starting this thought. He's starting this thought. He says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles. So he's writing because this was written to Gentile people in Asia Minor. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. If you don't know, you can pick up on one of the weeks that you missed. But he was writing because of Gentiles. He was the one bringing the gospel, bringing the message of Christ to people that were not Jewish. And it is specifically because of that, that he is a prisoner. Because he is writing this letter from prison. And again, we talked about that on week one. This letter is written by him to these people, to these Gentiles, because of them. And in Acts chapter 21, which we're not going to go to, but in Acts chapter 21, there's this moment where essentially Paul gets arrested by Jewish people. And the reason ultimately they arrested him was because he was telling non-Jewish people, he was telling Gentiles that they have hope in Christ. And these Jewish people did not like that. So he ultimately gets arrested, ends up going to Rome where he writes this letter under house arrest, specifically because he was taking the message that God told him to take to people like you and me, unless you're Jewish, to Gentiles like us. So right away, Paul is like, hey, I just want you to remember, you know, I'm a prisoner because of you. He says, when I think about this, so the first thing again is obeying God assumes difficulty. The second thing is that God's plan includes difficulty. And so here's the thing. He says, when I think about this, and then picking up in verse 2, he says, hold on, time out. He's like, wait a second. Maybe you don't know my story. Because this wasn't written just to his friends in Ephesus, which is, again, we talked about week one. That's why there aren't specific details about people. He's like, wait, maybe you don't know my story. I'm in prison because of Gentiles. I'm in prison because of you people, because I'm following God, but maybe you don't know my story. So he says, hold on. He kind of pauses, and remember that phrase we saw a moment ago. He says, assuming, by the way, that you know that God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. He's like, look, this is God's plan. And again, I'm gonna fly through things. He goes on and says, you know, I've been sharing this with people. God shared it with me. And he goes here, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news or the euangelion or the gospel. We did a series called Breaking News all about the gospel. He says, those who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. So again, he's saying, this is God's plan. So just follow here. He's going, I'm in prison because I'm doing what God told me to do, which is bringing this gospel to non-Jewish people. And this wasn't an accident. It's his plan. So just, I hope we're breaking through this idea that, oh no, God would never want anyone to suffer. Paul's saying, you know what God's plan was? God's plan was for me to go to prison. Why? So that non-Jewish people would hear the message of Christ. So that in 2026, Mifflin County Community Church could hear and understand the message of Christ. So he goes on and talks about this is God's plan. The next slide here, he goes, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Again, he's saying, I'm serving God. I'm in prison. It's God's plan. It's hard. I'm in prison, but it's God's plan. I'm serving God. And he calls it a privilege. He's not going, oh, woe is me. I don't want to do this. This is hard. And it wasn't always easy. He's like, but this is God's plan. And so God's plan, as we'll see a little bit later, God's plan is always better than our own plans. And our own plans for comfort and making so that we don't have to hurt is never going to be as good as what God's plan is for us. So he recognizes that God's plan assumes that. He goes on, I'm going to skip some more, goes on to the next slide there and says, this was his eternal plan. And he says at the very last part of verse 13 here, he's talking to his audience. He says, don't lose heart because of my trials here. The word trial is a Greek word that means to squeeze, to be constricted, to be under pressure, to be uncomfortable. And he says, look, guys, I'm in prison. And to boil it down, he says, I'm in prison because of you. But don't feel bad about this. I know this is hard. This is hard for me, but God is using this hard thing to bring people to Him. So he says, I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. And so that was kind of his explanation, saying, look, just to be clear, everybody, suffering is part of God's plan. Because again, our American mentality would go, yeah, I don't know, Paul, God would never want you to go to prison for doing something that's good. God would never send you to suffer for Him. Paul's like, no, this is God's plan. That's part of His plan. God's plan includes difficulty. Get that from the beginning. And then the third thing we see here is that God's outcome supersedes difficulty. And so now, and I love this, God's outcome, the things that God is doing are bigger than our insignificant suffering. The things that God's doing are bigger than that. And so he picks up here in verse 14 with that same phrase. He says, when I think of this. So again, in verse 1 of chapter 3, he said, when I think of this, I, Paul, a prisoner in... Wait a second. You guys know why I'm a prisoner? So he shares the story of how this is God's plan that he's in prison. And then he comes back to this thought. He says, okay, anyway, so when I think about this, now he's finishing his thought. I mean, he rambles a little bit. I know you probably don't. I don't ramble. He says, when I think about this, I fall to my knees, and I love this prayer. I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. He says, and I pray, and he's praying for the people reading this letter. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep in God's love to keep you strong. He's saying, look, I'm praying. This is hard, but I just want you guys to recognize this. And he goes on and says, and may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. He's like, listen, I'm suffering, but I don't want you to miss God's great love for you. God's great love for me. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will come to be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. He's saying in this prayer, look, I want my audience, Ephesians, insert name here, all of you people, I want you to just get it. I just pray that God would open your hearts and your eyes to his love for you. Because it is incredible. And in the middle of all the suffering, don't worry about that. God's love is so good. And look at what he says here. And this is a, you know, kind of a famous verse. We already, Cora read that this morning for us. He says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And this is what he's saying. He says, look, you might be going, Paul, you're in prison. What? That can't be right. That's got to be bad. He's like, oh, no. Look, God's power, it goes way beyond our difficulty. It goes way beyond. We're like, okay, this must be the way it works. This is what I ask or think. This is how much I imagine. God, you know, I feel like I should be comfortable and do this thing for you. And when I'm doing this good, obedient thing, I mean, I go to church on Sunday. That should be good. And then you should work things out from there. And Paul's basically saying to all of us, like, that's the best you got. Like, that's so lame. That's weak. That there's nothing to that. Ooh, careful. Got your attention. He says, look, God's power. Oh, man, don't think that difficulty is part of that. Like, oh, this is hard. It must not be what God wants me to do. Paul's saying, no, man, God's power, his ability is so far above beyond what we can ask or even imagine. Beyond our imagination. And I wrote here, God's plan would never fit into our playbook, even difficulty and pain. Because somehow we've got this idea that difficulty and pain is bad, and therefore God would never want me to go through a hard time. And Paul says, oh, don't be so shallow. Don't be so narrow-minded. Oh, God can use your pain in a way that you would never imagine. And that sounds like, oh, that's awful. But he just finished saying, but if you get how much God loves you, how deep, how wide, how high, then you'd be like, God, bring it on, because whatever you've got is going to be better than my imagination. And so he recognizes that God's outcome supersedes difficulty. It's going to be better. God's plan is better than us going through our own difficulties, our shallow things. And again, sometimes difficulty is hard. I mean, Paul was beaten. He was in prison. He died there, eventually died back in prison. And yet, that still is nothing compared to what God has for us. So the third thing that we see here is that we should follow God into difficulty. See, if difficulty is a part of obeying God, and if God's plan includes that, like that's part of it, and when we follow, when we go through difficult situations, God's going to use that in ways that we can never ask or imagine, then the obvious step is to follow God in the difficulty. And this is what we're going to talk about today, and so I'll talk about that briefly for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 4 then, he says, therefore, he says, based on all these things, because difficulty is the way it is, because we can expect and trust and believe in God's the difficulty that God brings as we obey him. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, now don't forget, I'm in prison, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. He's like, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then step into it. Step into the difficulty. Walk into the hard conversations. Move into those moments that are going to cause you to have to sacrifice. Take time that's going to give up something that you would otherwise want. Maybe it's going to cost you money. Maybe it's going to cost you time. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. He goes and shares some things. You've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. That's not always easy, because sometimes there are people that don't deserve you to be nice to them. So step into the difficulty and do something that they don't deserve. He says, be patient with one another. As we've talked about this before, like, you know what? Everyone else, they've got issues, but I don't. And that's how we look at life. And Paul's like, no, look, be patient with one another. He goes on and says, make every effort. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. He said, remember when we were talking about being united? Remember that? You need to make every effort to do that. That's going to be difficult. He says, step into the difficult. And then he goes on and says, to the next slide there, he talks about how God has given us gifts. Like, we are a unified body, yet we have different individual gifts that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, as followers of Jesus. He says he has given us, each of us, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And then he goes on, and again, I'm skipping, and he says, here are some of the gifts that God gave to the church. And he said, the responsibility of the people that have these gifts is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. He said, if you are gifted, it's your job to do something with it. Now, specifically here, he's talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Kind of the leadership group of gifts, but it doesn't leave everybody out. He goes on, because, by the way, if you use your gifts, it'll help us to develop unity, which, again, we talked about a couple weeks ago. Then he goes on and says, then we won't be immature. Next slide there. Like children, we won't be tossed, blown about by every wind of teaching. We aren't going to be tricked by people. He finally says, as each part does its own special work, now he's talking about everybody, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so Paul is going from Ephesians 3, where he's talking about his difficulty. And again, we would have unpacked this a little bit more if we didn't have a billion tons of snow last week. But he goes into, so serve one another. It's going to be hard. There's going to be times where you're going to have to sacrifice. There's going to be times where you're going to have to get up and you don't want to get up. And if getting up out of bed a little bit early for Jesus is the hardest thing you have to do in your life for him, Paul would be like, oh, I'm so sorry, me. Like, seriously? I'm in prison. I've been beaten. He's saying, use your gifts. You've all, as followers of Jesus, been given gifts. And we are to use them for the body of Christ. We are to step into the difficulty. Because God wants us to serve him. And using the hard moments are part of his plan. So, don't deny difficulty. We can't live our lives like this when it comes to following Jesus. There's going to be moments where we might have to step into the fire. And you know what? I think that happened in Joshua. Literally. When they stepped into the fire. The fiery furnace. You can read about it. It's in the Bible. But there are times we're going to have to step into it. And so we need to assume it. We need to recognize that God's plan includes difficulty. We need to realize that in our difficulty, God is going to do things that we would never imagine. And again, we'll come back to that in a second. And so therefore, we should follow God into difficulty. And we did a series a while back, way back, called Gifts. And you can find that on the slide loop and look more into the spiritual gifts that we talked about in that whole series. But as a believer in Christ, you have been given gifts, and your job is to use them for God. And that might be difficult. That might be hard. It might be inconvenient. It might be uncomfortable. But that's what God has called us to do. And so again, for the point today, insert name here. You need to put your name and say, okay, I need to follow God's authority. I need to obey God because God has called me to do things, and not all of them are going to be easy. Not all of them are going to be convenient. Sometimes it's going to require sacrifice. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. So again, I'm kind of obviously went flying through there. But Paul's point was, we need to break this idea that when we follow God, it's always going to be easy and we're always going to be happy. Because it's just not biblical. It's not. So, for a little bit of just kind of reflection, I want to talk about what it looks like to do hard things, or why we should do hard things. When it comes to obedience, there are things that you're going to have to do, that God has called you to do, and you're going to go, I don't want to, because it's uncomfortable, because it's difficult, because it doesn't make me happy, because it makes things harder than I want, or I might have to sacrifice or give up something. And so doing hard things, I just kind of give you a, let's call it a theology of doing hard things, a biblical defense for why we're supposed to do hard things. The first thing is because God sees sacrifice as standard. Can you pull me back a little bit? My S is the S. Thank you. God sees sacrifice as standard. Like sacrifice, as a follower of Jesus, you should be sacrificing for him. If you are not, you're not actually following. Sacrifice isn't a thing that happens to some people. It's for those guys in the Bible or all those pastors. As a follower of Jesus, sacrifice is standard. It's SOP, standard operating procedure. It is part of what we do. It is par for the course. In Romans chapter 12, a verse that you probably know, Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, all of you followers of Jesus, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, look what God has done for you. Think about what God has done for you. What did he do? Well, clearly he didn't sacrifice anything. The whole point of what we do is because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He says, in view of God's mercy, what does he say? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You think it's because you showed up on Sunday morning and sang a song. Maybe you closed your eyes and raised your hands, which is not a bad thing. But if you think, this is my sacrifice, the real way to worship God is by actually sacrificing. And I don't know what that looks like, and we're going to have a chance this morning for you to respond to God going, okay, God, what is it that you're calling me to? What is the hard thing that you want me to do? But Paul is very clear that we are to offer our bodies, our lives, everything we do as a living sacrifice. So everything we do should be sacrificial. Not what I want, but what God wants. All to Him I surrender. All to Him I freely give. We just sang that. Over in 1 Peter, Peter writes this way. He says, and this is part B of verse 20. He says, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. So first of all, he says, if you suffer for doing the right thing, God's pleased with you. But then he says, continues on with that, but or for God called you to do good. God called you to obey, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in His steps. So again, we just need to come up with this idea saying, okay, do I really want to follow God? Because if I really do, and not just say those words, it's going to require sacrifice. And that's okay, because that's what Jesus did for us. And so He says, you're called to do good, even if it means suffering. So if you don't want to suffer, you just need to decide if you want to follow God. And that's a fair argument, because God sees sacrifice as standard. The second thing is that God brings hope from hardship. And here's the other side of it. Like this idea where Paul says, look, God can do above and beyond all that we can ask or imagine, all that we can ask or think. It's because if we're willing to sacrifice and give up things for God, we'll get to see God come through in crazy cool ways. And in Genesis 50, there's this is the end of a story here with Joseph, which we've talked about multiple times before. But Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. They hated him when he was younger. And for years, like, he ended up in prison and he was a slave. And eventually God worked it so that he was the second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt. And we talked about that in the story series. And Joseph's dad, Jacob, died. And his brothers were like, oh, wow, we're done now. Dad's dead. He's the only one keeping us protected. He's the only one keeping us safe. Joseph's going to kill us. And he has the authority to do it. He has the power to do it. And no one would blink an eye if he was like, kill them. And they're like, Joseph, we're so sorry. It was an accident. We didn't know what we were doing. Please forgive us. And it says, but Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me into this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Listen, if Joseph wasn't sold into slavery by his brothers, now time out, I'm not encouraging you to sell your brothers and sisters into slavery. Okay? But if he wasn't, there would be no Israel. They would have died in the famine. But God used that to save the entire people of Israel. And the story of the Exodus exists because all of Joseph's family moved to Egypt and were there for 400 years and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And eventually they became slaves. Oh, this is great, God. Now we're slaves again. And then they got to see God work again through their hardship, through the plagues, through the parting of the Red Sea. So our hardship, God actually uses that to do good things, to bring hope from it. And over in Romans, we have this passage that you probably saw. You probably see this in a football game. You see it's a popular verse to be thrown around, usually out of context. But Paul writes this to the church in Rome. He says, we know that in all things, God works for the good. And so most people just crop that verse there and stop right there. That's not the end of the verse. For those of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. And so what that means is that if you are called according to God's purpose, if you love God and are following Him and are obeying Him, and you're going through a hard time, you can trust and believe that God is working it out for good. It might not be what you think is good, but you can trust that God will use your hardship. If you're obeying Him, just step into it. Move into it. Move into the sacrifice. Move into the, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet if we do this thing that God has called us to do financially. Step into it and watch God come through. Because He's going to work things out for His good. Charles Stanley, the dad of Andy Stanley, used to say, obey God and trust Him with the consequences. Obey God and trust Him with the consequences. Do what God has called you to do and trust that He's going to work things out. And maybe you're never going to see it. You might have no clue what God did through your hardship. But that God is going to work something out. Because God brings hope from hardship. So the third thing is that God uses grief for growth. God uses grief for growth. And here we have three different authors saying essentially the same thing. Paul writes to the church in Rome in his letter to the Romans. He says, we can rejoice. He can rejoice. You hear that? James will throw this idea out in a second too. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See, Paul says we can be excited when we're going through a hard time because God is going to use that to make you more like Jesus. And let me tell you, being more like Jesus is way more important than any discomfort we could ever go through. And yet we've gotten sidetracked, like, oh, actually having that job, that's the most important thing. Or this promotion, or having this car, or this house, or this TV or phone package, I don't know. We've gotten this worldly idea of what good is, and Paul's like, oh man, being like Jesus, that's the best thing you can be. And it's going to take hardship to get there. And again, you probably could look back at your life and go, yeah, you know what? Those were the hard times that God used to help me through and grow me in Him. Over in James, James says something similar. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. James says the same thing. When you have hard times, God's going to use that to grow you, to become more like Jesus. And over in 1 Peter, Peter says same thing again. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. This is hard. What's going on? This is so weird. He's like, what? That's not strange. He said, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering. He says, when you go through hard times, you're more like Jesus than when you're going through easy times. So that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. How often we avoid the things that help us grow. No pain, no gain. That's part of it. And we're like, oh, I don't want this. I don't want to go through this hard time. But we can embrace difficulty and say, yeah, God, this is so hard, but wow, you're going to use it to grow me. And you're going to bring something good out of this because I can trust you for it. I have a quote on my wall in my office that's by Chuck Swindoll, and he says, our most difficult times are not when things are going hard. Listen to this. Our most difficult times are not when things are going hard. Hard times create dependent people. You don't get proud when you're dependent on God. Survival keeps you humble. However, pride happens when everything is swinging in your direction. When life is good, we don't need God. We push Him aside. But when we're in a hard moment, when do you pray more? When things are more difficult. And is praying better than not praying? Absolutely. When are you more likely to go, God, help me, than when you're going through a challenging situation? Because those are the moments that grow us. And we did a series called Dupes on James, and we spent a whole week talking about this idea of trials and suffering. So God sees sacrifice as standard. God brings hope from hardship. God uses grief for growth. And finally, God always works in weakness. God always works in weakness. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He's sharing about how he had this thing that was called a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was, but we know it was something that Paul prayed over and over and said, God, please get rid of this thing. Whether that was a physical ailment, whether it was a person that just bothered him all the time, I don't know. But he's like, please get rid of this. And he says, when he prayed to God, God responded, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He said, in the midst of this hard thing that you're going through, that's when I show up. Because now you can't go, yeah, look at me, I did this, pat myself on the back, I'm pretty slick. He's like, no, no, it's when you're weak, that's when my power is made perfect. He goes on and says, Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Have you been insulted for Jesus? Have you gone through a hardship? Have you been persecuted? Have you been in difficulty? Paul says, because when I boast in those things, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's those moments. And let me tell you, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining here, but how many followers of Jesus will come and talk to me and be like, I just never see God work. I just don't know. God doesn't work in my life. You don't give him a chance. You don't need him to. Because you're not willing to step into the pain. You're not willing to step into sacrifice and to do a difficult thing. Like, no, I need to be comfortable. I need my sleep schedule. I need my finances to be in order. I need my savings account. But Paul's like, dude, I'm going to step into the difficulty because that's when God shows up. And you want to complain about never seeing God. Let me tell you how I've seen God come through. And I can tell you, Sean Fitch, stepping into the difficult, trusting God, stepping out in places that make no sense, and having your own family say, you should never plant a church. How are you going to provide for your family? I have no idea. They all died. And the church didn't even work. If this is your first time here, my family is all doing well. I have four children. Three of them are currently, well, one of them's married, graduated from college. Two of them are in college. One has just been accepted to Lancaster Bible College for next fall. He'll be going there too. They're doing all right. We're doing all right. And you know what? God is using this church to do some incredible things. But it's those moments when God comes through. That's when we're weak, he's strong. And so I just want to challenge us to not get to this spot where we're like, no pain, I need to stay away. It's challenging. It requires sacrifice. I'll have to give up something. And let me say this as the lead pastor of Mifflin County Community Church. One of the things that I'm a little bit concerned that I have done, when we talk about the importance of family, I absolutely agree with that. That God has made your relationship with him number one, spouse two, kids three, and then everything else. But I have heard and watched family time get thrown as an excuse to be like, well, I don't have to serve. I need time with my family. I don't have to do these things because I've got to have family time. And I'm not here to say what your heart is, where your heart is, but don't use that as an excuse, because you know what? There are moments when your family will sacrifice with you. And I guess we're all here because my family was willing to sacrifice with me. So just be careful about that. But sacrifice is important. We need to do hard things. God sees sacrifice as standard. It's normal. It's part of it. And when we are in those hard moments, that's when God brings the hope. That's when God comes through in a way that we would never ask or imagine. That's how Paul can be in prison going, if it wasn't for prison, the world, the Gentiles wouldn't know the message of Jesus. If it wasn't for Paul's prison, Mifflin County Community Church wouldn't have the message of Jesus. God uses grief for growth. Those hard moments are the moments that we start to grow. And of course, God always works in weakness. So, we've been doing this thing for this series called New Year Name Here. And go ahead and click there for me, Kara. And maybe you can pull that back. And this New Year Name Here is an opportunity for you, maybe back it down a little more, to go into the, it's the computer, to go into the lobby. And there's another panel that's up there on the wall. And it says this. It says, for this new year, I will do hard things. And this is also in your YouVersion notes there. If you read there at the bottom of, in that section of New Year name here. And it says, for this new year I will do hard things. It says, I have been avoiding doing blank because it is uncomfortable or even difficult. But today I will follow God and do this hard thing. And so, Isaac, go ahead and hit the main room lights, number one. There you go. Thanks. So, just between you and God, is there a hard thing that God has called you to do? Is there something that God said, you know, I want you to do this, and you're like, but it's difficult. It will require sacrifice. It'll hurt financially. It'll make me give up free time that I wanted to have. It'll change my work schedule. It'll change my sports schedule. But is there something that God wants you to give up? Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's having a hard conversation. Maybe it's changing your work schedule. I know you're all in this room, but maybe you change your schedule so you're not missing the worship experience or missing a prime group. Maybe God wants you to lead a prime group. I don't know what God's leading you to do. But I'm going to stop talking here and give you some time with God. Say, God, what is it that I'm avoiding? What is the hard thing? And maybe that blank is a list. But you're going to step into that and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey now. Because sacrifice is something you want from me. Obedience requires sacrifice. And I'm going to step into the pain, not avoid it, because I want to follow you. Once you've kind of got that, you can write that in your YouVersion notes. And then get up and you can go into the lobby and sign your name on that next panel. Quietly come, sit back down. Once everybody's back in the room, then I will close in prayer. And for all of you watching online, you can do the same thing. What is God leading you to do? And then when you feel what that is, you write that on your YouVersion notes or however you want to do that. But then type your name. If you're on YouTube, you can type your name into the comments there as your way of signing the wall as well. So between you and God.